everyone, and welcome to Signals from the Frontline, your every Wednesday live broadcast brought to you by Frontline Gaming. We are your hosts, Kicker, the Chief of Serial and Sigilite of the FLG, and I am Seth the Mad Doc, your competitive correspondent. Kicker, it's just the two of us tonight. How you been?
Just the two of us. I am doing good, man. I'm excited. We have Rocky Mountain Open in a few days, so I'm packing, getting ready for that. So yay, if you're in chat.
The Road Warriors in chat, he's already there.
All right, sweet. Yeah, that's the next one for us. It's just a traveling circus at this point, guys. So thank you as all for tuning in live, where you get to be part of chat. If you are not currently watching us live and you're listening to us, we appreciate you, but just not as much as the people that are here live.
I appreciate everyone, Kicker.
You appreciate equally, everyone equally. All right, thanks. Equally. Well, guys, hobby progress. I've got a top secret, super special project that I'm really excited to show, but we're not going to show it this week.
But we will show this, Kicker.
Yeah, let's show off this. Look at this, guys. This is my hobby progress for the week that I can show you. That is a beautiful based miniature. That is one of my tau for my new army. That is a ghost keel. That is a lot of grass on there. That is like $8 of tufts on one model.
It does look good. Yeah, I like the variety you use there, because when it's all just one vegetation, that doesn't look as realistic as kind of this mixed group of vegetation you have here.
Yeah, it's legitimately something I spent way too much time thinking about, because I really wanted something to kind of mimic the Western frontier, like the Wyoming, high.
And
like,
are there going to be buffalo in this army?
There might be. Maybe you can 3D print me a bison just to put in the back there. But I really wanted to look as accurate as I can. And so I got these tufts from Gamer's Grass, and I'm blown away with the different sizes and shades. And so putting it all together gives a really cool natural vibe. So, that was a project. That was an hour-long project doing that and two other ghost kills like that. So I'm very proud of how they look, but it was definitely a night's work. Seth, what about you? What have you been up to? Have you painted something?
I did some painting this weekend. Now, Kicker, I painted up just 10 more Necron Immortals with their Tesla weapons. But I felt the important part of what I did this weekend was not my painting, Kicker. I haven't told you about this.
Oh, okay.
I watched all of Band of Brothers while painting.
Yes. Now, this is not your first time watching Band of Brothers, right?
It is my first.
Are you serious? Oh, my. I'm kind of disappointed in you, Seth.
I did it for you, honey.
I'm proud. Okay, did you enjoy it?
It was good.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's really good stuff.
I'm now starting trying to watch The Pacific. Not as good.
Yeah, not nearly as good. And I unfortunately, it's unfortunate to hear this, but I've heard that the recent one, I think Airmen or the Flyboy one, the one about pilots in World War II, is not even nearly as good as The Pacific. So, okay, well, yikes.
Kicker, why don't you take us into some industry news? What's been going on with everything else out there in the world?
Well, let's talk about Broken Lance. This is this new Warhammer Plus TV show that's been getting a lot of hype, and it looks cool. It's Imperial Knights. I'm all about it. So that is out, I believe, today. So maybe later tonight, after you're done listening to us, you go check that out. Then there's this whole teaser trailer, Sigmar Lied. Now, we don't know what the hell they're talking about. It's definitely an Age of Sigmar thing.
And
it's a cool video.
Lied.
And he apparently lied. Yeah, right. Jeez. Now, we do know Adepticon is next week, and there's going to be some big reveals. So maybe this is a teaser for that. Yeah. If you're in chat, tell us what you think. Maybe you could get something out of this trailer.
What did Sigmar lie about? That he only had so many chambers to open with more Stormcast in them? That's what I think he lied about. That boy's been opening chambers left and right for years.
Yeah, tell us what you think, guys, because Seth and I really have no idea. Speaking about Adepticon, Seth, this is next week. This is one of the larger review, preview things that GW does. Not as good or as, special or as the LVO one. Not that I'm biased, but it's another big
Adepticon. We're no bias at all here, folks.
We're no bias at all. But this is another big one. They tend to do large reveals at this Adepticon every year. Seth, we know they got 40K, Age of Sigmar, Warcry, Old World, Kill Team, Underworld. What do you think, Seth? What's going to be the big announcement? Just be honest. What do you think?
I think big announcement. I think the elephant in the room is everyone's thinking it's a new edition of Sigmar this summer. Which timeline wise, like a March announcement that in June or July there'll be a new edition sort of fits. And maybe that's what Sigmar lied about. Now, as for the other systems, that's a little harder to say. 40K, I would guess it's one of the new faction, or not new factions, but new codexes coming up, which is probably, it's either Orcs or Custodes is next. We don't know which, so maybe we'll know more.
Right, what if they did both? What?
You know, because double release would be cool. They've done it before, and they did preview the article, not this week, but last week, where they previewed the new Custode Captain and the new Orc Big Mech. They were in the same article with, and they showed the boxes they would be in. So
it could happen.
It could happen. It could be a double release. I would love that because I just want Orcs. That's all I want. I mean, Custodes, they'll happen. I want Orcs. I'm not going to collect Custodes. Kill Team? I don't know. What do you think of Kill Team?
I am not allowed to speak right now. Okay. I'm just going to have to be quiet. Well, sorry.
I'm going to guess that it is Orcs versus Custode Kill Team.
Oh,
Orcs wait, have Custodes ever actually got a kill team? Wait a minute. I think it might be a Custode kill team. I don't think Custode's ever got a kill team.
I don't think you could have, it'd be like one model. Like, yeah, no,
fine,
no,
it's fine. One really Custode's ornate model. It's fine.
No. I think they did have a kill team. I mean, I might be wrong. Maybe it was the first edition. I'm pretty sure. I don't know. Whatever. The point is that is a possibility. Is that what's going to happen? I have no idea. But I don't know. We're not talking about it.
Yeah.
So chat, well, tell us what you guys think. What do you think the kill team release is? Kill teams do for something new. They always do something exciting for kill team. It's so, all right. Nice. Now, really exciting stuff is the pre-orders this weekend. Yes, Kicker, it's time for the, who cares about Tau? It's time for the Kroot release. I know it's the Tau. It's the first chance you get the Tau Codex, but no one really cares about the Tau. It's all about the Kroot.
I mean, at some of us care about the Tau, Kicker, but we know you care.
Some people care about the Tau. I personally just care about the Kroot. But yes, the Tau Codex is coming in this new Kroot hunting pack. It is going up for pre-order this weekend. This was originally announced at LVO, the whole teaser for it. The whole announcement was at LVO, and it's finally a couple months later being up for pre-order. It's extremely exciting because every single model in there is new. The set itself is just a cool box set. Let's just be clear. It's a very good box set.
Yeah.
Seth, are you going to get this just because you want the Codex? Or I mean, do you think people are going to be buying it just for the Codex?
I think, I mean, certainly it's always, these boxes always end up being a good deal, particularly in this case where everything in it is a new sculpt.
Yeah, every single thing.
If this was like one new Kroot sculpt and then a bunch of old sculpts, I could see a lot of Tau players like myself passing and waiting for the Codex to be released. But there's literally nothing in this box that you have already. There's literally nothing in here that you don't that you have. You don't have that codex. You don't have those cards. You don't have all those sculpts. So I think if you're a Tau player, it's kind of a no-brainer to pick this up, even if it's just one box, and then down the line you add to the Kroot later.
Yeah, so it's a cool box set. Obviously, it's Tau, but it's very obvious. It's just Kroot focused. So but anyway, all
I mean,
new
it
models
is called Kroot Hunting Pack. I mean,
it is the Kroot Hunting Pack, right?
I don't know how else to describe that box as a Kroot focused box. It's called Kroot Hunting Pack.
I know the Kroot is not an army. It's always just been auxiliaries, but there's like a dedicated Kroot player base. There's people that just like Kroot. So anyway, let's move on from Kroot. We've also got some Warhammer Underworld stuff. This is the Gravebreakers, Azondara's Gravebreakers. It looks like it got a cool werewolf sculpt in this set. Once again, these models
Kicker,
are always
do you
fun.
Not remember the lore from this release? Because I remember it from the LVO preview.
No, Seth, I don't remember at all what's going
Zandara
on with this.
Zandara is this necromancer here, and her lover is actually the werewolf. He's cursed and turned into a werewolf. So Zandara enters the realm of beasts, animates the corpses you see behind so that she can dig around and loot because she's trying to find a relic to reverse her lover's curse.
Oh, well, that's kind of sweet.
It's a love story. Okay.
It's
an underworld love story, Kicker.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I see a Hallmark film happening. All right,
I see a film starring Kate Beckinsale, but that's different. That's a different underworld love story.
Different in the world, although that is true. Although, man, like werewolves are just cool. Can we just agree that we're like the 40K and Age of Sigmar universe? They need more werewolves. So I am pro werewolf there. From like gaming news, let's talk about this real fast. The Rocky Mountain Open. This is happening this week. Yes, just a few days
from
now. I will be
a bit more about it in a minute.
We'll save it. Okay, we'll save it for the full topic. BAO, that is coming up in May. And guys, this was up for like four days as of right now. 40K is over 50% sold out, which is unprecedented. Like this, it always sells out fast, but this is by far the over 50% sold out in 4 days. Like, dang. So yay there. That's going to be
Kicker.
A fun one.
I want to point something out about BAO that folks might be forgetting. This is, we are part of KublaCon, correct?
Yeah. Okay. So BAO is kind of this weird transitional year. It is 100% part of KublaCon. Yeah.
That means there's not unlimited space for you, right?
Yes. So that is it. And thank you, Seth. I see where you're going with this, and we should address it. Yes, there is not unlimited space for the BAO.
So there's not going to be more 40K tickets.
No more 40K tickets.
You were able to add stuff to Rocky Mountain. You were able to add stuff to Cherokee. There ain't no more adding at BAO.
When it's gone, it's gone. And it's a shame because we actually had to cut out Star Wars Legion in full, mm-hmm. Age of Sigmar in full, even Kill Team. We just don't have the space. We just don't. So this is a 40K tournament for this 1 year as KuboCon is growing
a second event going on.
We do have a second event going on. That is the Old World. They're going to be in their own little breakout room. We are capped. That event is capped as well. But yeah, so it's just 40K and Old World. Old World has a really sweet package.
Is there not Kill Team as well?
We were originally doing Kill Team. Okay. Looks like Old World grew faster than we expected.
Oh,
and
boy.
So,
Old World ate Kill Team.
Yeah. Basically,
I need to make a meme about that.
Yeah, I mean, we did talk to the Kill Team guys. I'm like, hey guys, you guys can do an event, but you're going to be like 24 people max. And they're like, we'd like to be closer to 64, 48 or something. And they're like, no, we don't have the space. So they chose to back out and give us their space to allow Kill Team.
So clearly, at the end of the day, after this year BAO, we just get to have, we lock Old World and 40K in a cage fight to see who gets to be the one. The one.
So it is interesting though, because this is this weird year as BAO is eventually going to become a much larger thing. I don't feel comfortable going into the details, but the guys that run KuboCon are having some really good arrangements with the tourism board of San Francisco, and there's a lot of opportunities there. So this year we're just kind of like trying to maintain, do the whatever we can do, which happens to be a 40K event, and then hopefully by 2025, 2026 we can get very, very large and have unlimited Kill Team, Age of Sigmar, 40K, etc., etc.
So we don't have to have a cage match between 40K and Old World to see who gets the space.
We don't have to, but we could, right?
Like maybe each game system can elect a champion.
Yes. Yes.
Gladiator style? I'm getting into this.
You know what would be interesting? I mean, I know they're completely different game systems, but I've always thought it'd be kind of cool to see like the best 40K player play the best Age of Sigmar player. Maybe it's like
in
chess.
Checkers.
Maybe
we find
like,
make them play
in checkers or something, right? I don't know. But yeah, maybe or like tic-tac-toe. I don't know.
I'm so bad about tangenting you, Kicker. What's our next event?
You are very good. The Atlantic City Open. That is, tickets will be going live in about 3 weeks. There's a lot of people that live in the northeast of America, and many of them have been asking me on a daily basis, when can I get my ACO?
Like, I've enjoyed it. I've gone the last few years. I would like to go to Game Kicker. So
it is happening. I'll expect you to go, my friend. Okay. It is happening. It just BAO just went live. We've got Rocky Mountain open this week. When I get back from Rocky Mountain, my focus is on getting the ACO tickets live.
All right.
Champions Cup. I had a call today with Stephen Carrazz and his new partner in crime when it comes to streaming. And I got to say, the Champions Cup stream is going to be something that will blow you away. We've got professionals coming in. It is going to be something we've never done before, much like the Champions Cup is an event that we've never done anything like this before. Basically, it's going to be amazing. I don't want to talk about the people who are going to be involved with that stream until they're ready to talk about it, but it's going to be cool.
All right.
And Seth, you and I, whether you know this or not, we're going to begin focusing on each and every single one of the clubs that is coming to Champions Cup.
They'll have Kicker, a little. Last week, you teased that another club was joining and you didn't say on air who it was. Now you have to say.
Now I can say the Air Force, the U.S. Air Force official. Oh, look at it. Seth's got the banner and everything. Yes, look at that. Well done. Yes, the U.S. Air Force is proudly welcome to the Champions Cup. This was something in the works for a while. A lot of the U.S. military has some, for lack of a better word, red tape, and we had to get approval and whatnot. But they are officially happening.
One out there in listener land or chat knows anything about military red tape. I'm sure
it's not
for many of them.
So yeah, very, very excited to have the U.S. Air Force as well as the U.S. Army and clubs from both from all east, west, all across the U.S. as well as some teams from Canada. This is gonna be really cool. Seth, we don't have Nikki D here, but we got you, and you mentioned this. So for nerd news, tell us our nerd news for the week.
Our nerd news for the week, boy howdy. I don't know if you're a Fallout fan like me, but they finally Amazon released their full trailer for the Fallout TV series that's premiering April 11th. It's starring Walter Goggins as one of the ghouls. It is amazing. That trailer hits every note just perfectly for the Fallout lore. So I am super pumped for this show. It's going to be a great time. I'm super excited to see kind of all the fun that's going to be had in this show. They've nailed all the aesthetics perfectly. I couldn't ask for more, man. So I'm super excited for it.
Oh, man, it looks so good.
Yeah. It's going
to
be.
So what you're doing right now, guys, if you're listening to our podcast, watch us, watch the end of the episode, and then immediately go and watch that trailer in case you haven't, because it's one to watch. Definitely one to watch. It looks like chat's very excited for Fallout 2, Seth.
Yes. Now, I'm definitely not editing images real quick, but I think I'm good.
No, Seth is not editing images. I am slowly going to walk us into the Maid 7-8 to buy as much time as I can for Seth to work on editing images. We are going to be talking about the Rocky Mountain Open. This is the second year we've ever had the Rocky Mountain Open. Last year, it was amazingly successful. And so we decided to come back and do it a second time, and we've added another building, we've grown, we've added more game systems. This is an event in right outside Denver, Colorado, and it really was one that was created because the Colorado 40K and Colorado Star Wars Legion communities came together and said, let's make it happen. There we go. There's the clubs. We've got I can't say it's at Legion 50.
It's 5280 is the Star Wars Legion group and the Denver 40K Fight Club.
So these guys, it's Stephen Cobb for Legion and Brandon Roddy for 40K. These are two, you know, leaders of their communities in the, you know, the front range of Colorado that just really came together to make this happen. So we partnered up with them, and now this event is, you know, a very, very cool one that we're excited to have this year. And guess what? I've already got 2025 in the locked in place. So this event is going to keep on going. Seth, do we want to talk about the app that we got there?
I don't know that people know about this.
Okay, you explain it. Explain, or do you need me to explain?
I can explain it. So the FLG has rolled out an app. Now, at this point, you're probably not so much concerned about selling your models because the event is Check Says Watch 2 days from now. But this is a very easy and convenient way to find your event packet. So you can download the app from the App Store. Your event packet's right there. It also, of course, links to the page. So if you are our web cart, so if you want to buy products, models, also links to our ability to buy models from you. So great little useful tool. That's always the thing. People are like, hey, how do I find the player pack? This is your one-stop shop for
all the
player packs.
It's also got the schedule in it, damn it. Like, people are always like, what time's the food served? No, it's right there in the app. There's the schedule. What time's the hall open? It's in the app. Yep. It's all right there.
The app does all the Kicker's job for them. Soon, it'll be AI will take over Kicker's job, everyone.
Oh, no. So the app's pretty cool. We update it for every single event. So if you're at Cherokee, it was updated for Cherokee. Now that we're going to Rocky Mountain, all the Cherokee information has been removed, and it's all Rocky Mountain focused.
So just a nice little convenient way to keep track of everything. Don't have to keep hunting around in which PDF and what thing where. Nice and easy.
And it's actually, it's pretty cool. We have a programmer that's, you know, full-time employee, frontline gaming guy. This guy is a genius, and he's continually adding to the app. So by the time we get to LVO, there'll be so many more features, like push notifications of, hey, we're looking for player A because he won a raffle, or round three is about to start. Go to your table, you know.
Our boy, Mikey G, the Road Warrior, also points out that if you bought a ticket for the event, your ticket's on the app.
Oh, technology.
So, you've got to show your ticket, it's got the app.
It's all in the app. It's all you need.
Now, I believe I was looking in your post because you made a post about things you need to know about Rocky Mountain Open, and there's some special perks for people that are returning folks with their coin challenge, right?
Yeah. So our challenge coins are always, you know, very cool. Not as another cool memento of each event, these custom challenge coins. But if you bring your coins to our events, you get more perks. The more coins you have, the more stuff you get. This year we've got, I want to call it Warhammer Station. This is a company, I believe, out of Texas, actually, that makes really cool tokens and wound counters and that kind of thing.
All the little tchotchkes that we love as gamers.
We love these things, and you can never have enough. Yeah. So everyone that has a challenge coin will have a choice of getting a first of all, they'll have a booth there, so you can also buy stuff, but they'll be there. With a challenge coin, you'll be able to get a wound counter right from them, which is nice. One of those little dial wound counters. We've also got Duncan Rhodes, his paint. So you get a choice of paint too. So for your different coins you show us, you get a bottle of paint, you get some wound counters, all the good stuff. We want to give you options as loyal Frontline Gaming attendees.
Yep.
So, this is kind of cool, that we're getting, some real support. A lot of companies are coming to us now saying, how can I get my product to be a champion? A challenge coin prize. So
great way to get things in people's hands and try it. That's actually the first time I tried pro acrylic paints.
Yeah, exactly. So
that was a challenge coin thing from way back, and I tried it. I was like, I like these, and now I'm down a rabbit hole. I think I'm in debt to Monument Hobby Set. I don't know. I haven't checked lately.
Well, we also have a charity that's happening right there. This is one of the things that the Denver 40K Fight Club / Brandon Roddy has created. Basically, there's a charity where you can buy some raffle tickets for a beautifully painted army that comes with its own transport bag. Proceeds will be going to, I believe, a military veteran focused charity.
Warrior Now for Charity.
Warrior Now for Charity. Thank you, Seth.
For veterans, mental health recovery, and suicide prevention.
So it's a really cool little way to potentially win a beautifully painted army, as well as help the local community. And the event dice, are we talking about the event dice? Achievement. Yeah, so this event is a Frontline Gaming achievement event, which means achievement dice event, which means that if you are a good sport, or maybe you're super lore focused, or hey, you've got a pretty good paint job, you could win one of these really sweet dice.
Kicker, isn't there one for being unbroken?
Yeah, unbroken. If you lose every single round and you still continue to play, that's the key thing. So you have to lose every round and still continue to play. Then you are, I forgot the term. What's the name? Relentless? Is that what we're called? Indomitable?
Indomitable. It's indomitable.
Indomitable.
But it's indomitable. You got to come see Kicker or Mikey G at the end of the event.
Well, really, you guys should not see me or Mikey G. You should go to the judges, because the judges are supposed to hand them out.
Occasionally the judges get overwhelmed. Give him a hearty handshake and tell him that you have gone the magical 0-6, and yet you stand here as a proud warrior.
Yeah, exactly. And then, of course, if you are under the age of 18, you get our Young Gun dice. Nice. And what we've decided is there's not that many players that come to our event under the age of 18. So if you're extremely young, and if then you're, like, say you're 20, 21, 22, you'll probably get a Young Gun die as well, if you ask us nicely. So yeah, the achievement dice has been really, really well received. So we're rolling that out all events this year. And after Cherokee, I had a little, brain trust session with some of the other judges and stuff, and we figured out some other achievement dice we'll be launching at the second half this year. So
is there an orc achievement dice?
There's not an orc achievement dice.
I need to talk to your focus group about an orc achievement dice.
Right. What would you have to, like, play orcs? No, it has to be something. Maybe the best wog.
Yeah. Whoever gives the best wog that weekend gets a dice.
I'm okay with that, but I do know that some people are not huge fans of
I don't care. I'm gonna add that to the player pack. Orc players are allowed to wog. Sorry.
Okay, we'll just add that. Chat, tell us, what do you think? Are you pro WA or
are you pro WA? If you're not, get out.
Seth, do you want to give us a brief run of the meta here?
The list unlocked this morning, thanks to our head judge Adam for doing that. And I took a look through. Now, Kicker, we got the lovely little pie graph that everyone loves. We have 206 players in attendance this year, as of right now.
And we're still selling tickets, by the way, because people are trading. So I bet we'll be out to 220 by the end of this.
My numbers. So thanks a lot.
Sorry. All right.
It broke down similar to how things broke down for Cherokee, with Marines being the largest single group. Now, Marines, of course, that includes Blood Angels, Dark Angels, Ultramarines, Iron Hands, all those various types. So if you really split them out and not count them, Necrons are your most common. Surprisingly, coming in at a tie for third is Tyranids and Guard, Kicker.
What?
Guard tied for the third most common army.
I'm so proud to hear this. This is great. Yeah. I love it.
And then it was Death Guard, World Eaters, and Custodes. If you remember from Cherokee, it was Necrons, then Custodes. So Custodes took a pretty big drop. So we have all factions represented. All factions have multiple players. But that big drop did start to make me wonder. So I actually did more math, Kicker.
Okay.
And I figured out the percent kind of a representation each army had at Cherokee versus that representation here at Rocky Mountain Open. And then I wanted to see the change. And then we, boom, got this beautiful graph.
Look at that. This is fancy.
I tried. So Marines actually went up in relative percentage, even though it was the same number of players, because Rocky Mountain is a little bit smaller than Cherokee. So that means they went up in percentage. Tyranids also took a hefty jump up along with Guard. And so I'm kind of wondering, Guard have been good. They just have been kind of slept on a little bit. But Tyranids, that was a surprise, because a lot of people were feeling kind of down on Tyranids. So I was excited to see them take a jump up. Then the fourth, like, biggest jump was Drukhari.
Yeah. I mean, of course, they got
new rules. And if you think about it, those rules didn't come out until the beginning of February. Cherokee was at the end, so it might have been hard for some Drukhari players to really pivot and get into position to play that army in time.
Guard have been doing really, really well recently, so people kind of jump on the bandwagon, like, oh, Guard are doing good. Maybe I should consider Guard again. I mean, they've won a few large events. So, it makes sense. Guard, Drukhari grew. Seth, what do you think about this? And maybe I'm incorrect, but I believe there's several military bases in the area, and I don't know if military people tend to play Guard or not. I don't know if that's a thing, but I don't know.
I'm I mean, this certainly could be a regional difference. We're talking about North Carolina region versus the Colorado region.
Colorado, Wyoming,
Yeah, like Custodes and Chaos Knights were super common at Cherokee, and they took a huge dive in terms of percent representation. So interesting to see how there were some armies that are kind of falling out of favor, some that barely changed at all.
But Marines are once again just there. They're always there.
They're always there. They're omnipresent, those Marines. Now, kicker. I besides looking at those, I did look through some of the lists of some players in attendance that kind of stuck out to me, and I wanted to go through them. Let's start off with a guy that I think is in a very solid position to take down this whole event, and he's running something that we haven't really seen at many top tables lately. That's Zach Kerstetter running Blood Angels, and it is the Sons of Sanguineous Detachment, which is their updated detachment, and he's running Lamartes the Sanguinor, which Sanguinor is a jerk. Did you know this trick about the Sanguinor kicker? When you charge a unit, if I charge a Blood Angel unit and the Sanguinor is in reserve, he can just appear in engagement range to you.
Aww, that's annoying.
Yeah.
All right.
Then they got a couple captains and a chaplain and a lieutenant, a couple units of assault intercessors, and then 30 death company.
Okay, there's his plan.
25 death company. I'm sorry. 25. Three units of scouts, a gladiator lancer and a land raider redeemer and a rhino.
Okay, cool.
That man is coming to punch you, and he's going to not be very polite about it.
But, you know, he's still bringing his gladiator. You know, all the Marine players love that damn tank, man.
It pops up the tanks real good. But this is a list that I think has been bouncing around in a few circles. I know Anthony Vanella just ran a very similar list and felt it was his own words. He did not know that it had a bad matchup. I think Zach is going to try to take this out for a spin and see how it goes. So I'll be interested to see how he does. Now, kicker, another Marines list. This is Frank Orego. He's also running a combat-heavy Marines list, but this is Black Templars.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so we got Chaplain Grimaldus, High Marshal Helbricht, a biologist, a captain, a lieutenant, a big Primaris Crusader squad, which is their kind of baseline troops where they mix this the base infantry, the scout equivalent, and the Primaris equivalent together. Two big units of Sword Brethren. He's got Eradicators. He's got Inceptors. A couple units of Scouts. And another Land Raider Redeemer. I'm seeing a theme here. I've been told this is very similar to a list that Jack Harpster has been running. So it'll be interesting to see if Frank can really get the most out of this list. I've heard a lot of folks say that Black Templars is the best list out there in Jack's hands. So I want to see if Frank can live up to that hype. So rooting for you, Frank. We'll see how you do. Now, I'm going to save these other... Let's come over here. All right. Now, I was disappointed to see my friend, my fellow war boss, Colin K.
Yes.
Longtime war player. Likes to run into some real goofy lists. A triple kill tank. I love to see it. I saw Colin K. I was at the event. I was excited, kicker. I was like, man, what nonsense this man. This man's playing Sisters, kicker.
Sisters, dude. Yeah. Sisters.
So I had to call him out. He's playing Sisters, but folks are saying that Sisters are pretty strong, and I've played a few games against them, and they certainly have a lot of tricks and combos up their sleeves to keep an eye out. Now, the big thing that they lost with the points update was their Arc of Flagellants took a big hit in points-wise, and that was like the mainstay in their army. So Colton named his list Arco Who. It's a Canonist, a Dialogus, a Missionary, Mournval, the Palatine, the Triumph, Sister Squad, a couple of Immolators, a Rhino, bunch of Crusaders, bunch of Exorcists, bunch of Paragon Warsuits, bunch of Retributors, bunch of Seraphim, bunch of Novitiates. It's just tons and tons and tons of Sisters, bodies, and vehicles. So I'm really interested to see how this goes. I know K.R. Quinn, that the man has played Sisters for a while, but I want him to play Orcs. So I'm giving him a hard time. Also, I wanted to see what a Sisters list looked like when you didn't have Arco Flagellants, and he ran a Sisters list without Arco Flagellants. So we had to call him out. Now, I did save the two lists that I thought you were going to like the most to last, kicker.
Yeah, and I'm looking at our notes. Neither one of these guys is a traditional guard player.
It's true. The first one up is Ben Jurek. Ben, another war boss.
Boss leaving the tribe.
Now, to be fair, Ben has recently been on a, we'll call it a path of discovery with Eldar. Again, sorry, not judging you, Ben. Great.
Yeah, no, no.
He is running a guard. His list is named Definitely Not Stolen. It's Lord Leonidas, a platoon command squad, a tank commander, another tank commander, Ursula Creed, a unit of jungle fighters, two basilisks, three units of Bulgrin, three units of Karskin and two Manticores and two Scout Sentinels.
Yep.
This is like, from my understanding, this is the guard list. If you're running a guard list, this is the list. Gonna do the trick. So
that's four artillery pieces, man.
Those scouts pick a unit, those scout sentinels pick a unit, and then those artillery pieces do not take the negative benefits. Yeah. And then you can order the artillery to be +1 ballistic skill and then +1 to hit for heavy, for sitting still, and you can have him hitting on twos, re-rolling.
Jeez.
And because you sat still, lethal hits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brutal. So, and then you can stack AP on that. Like there's a lot
of damage coming out of that. And then they've got those Bulgrin and those Karskin and those Catachin to kind of get in the way. The only thing that I'm not seeing here that I kind of expected, and I might have just scrolled past it, would be I don't see one, would be a what is the name of your transports? Now I'm blanking on it.
You got Chimera and Tarox.
Yeah, I would expect the Chimera just to kind of keep that unit of Catachin jungle fighters to kind of throw them out when you need them.
You mean you're just trying to save points, right? Yeah. He's just trying to do a screen for turn one.
Okay,
yeah.
Ben, I see.
I don't blame him.
Now, the last list kicker is definitely going to be your favorite. And it's from our friend Marshall Peterson. It's called...
He's not a long-time guard player, at least not one that I know.
Yeah. But his list is called Dino Riders.
All right, yes. Yes.
It is three Death Rider Squadron commanders, Lord Leonidas, two Tempestus Command Squads, two Primaris Psykers, two Taurox Prime, three units of Rough Riders, a demolition vehicle, three units of Death Rider Squadrons, which are the Forge World Squad version of a Rough Rider, one, two units of Karskin, and one, two, three units of Tempestus Scions.
Yeah.
I'm polar opposite of artillery that sits behind a wall.
I mean, like, I think this is just a meme. Like, I think this is fun. Like, I'm trying to think how this could be good. You
missed the important point, which is Jorge points out in chat. This is the list of democracy.
Yeah. I'm into that. Right. Like, I love the list. I have a hard time.
Look, Marshall is a good player. If he's running this, I definitely feel the meminess, but I'm also like, I can't look at this, at him and this list and go, maybe there's something here, kicker.
Yeah. Well, Joe, our friend Joe of War Games Live, I talked to him today. He is on site or should be on site by now. I will ask him to stream this as game one on Saturday because I personally want to watch it because it's just a bunch of cavalry. This is great.
This is exactly what kicker wants to see out of a guard army.
This is all the cavalry. That's all I want. Awesome. Well, yeah, guys, that is important, though. Remember, tune in this Saturday and Sunday to Joe War Games Live. He'll be streaming our event. Remember, he does not stream necessarily the top tables day one. He's streaming the most interesting matches, which will probably be this cavalry, because I will gently request
that Kicker's going to slide him a cool 20 and be like,
just
Marshall on. Right.
Yeah, we want to see this. But then, on Sunday, it will be the top games.
Yeah. So check out War Games Live. Joe is a very driven individual, and I mean that in both the literal and figurative sense, because what he does is not an easy task, folks, and the quality of production is always stellar. So I'm looking forward to watching him this weekend while I probably build and paint Orc Boys. Kicker,
all right.
When do you leave?
I leave Friday super early in the morning, first flight. I know Mike with the truck's Mike already G's there already and ready there. To set up. We've got Joe already there because he should arrive later tonight. Yep. We've got all the crews ready to set up on Friday. So it's happening, guys.
Did you want to talk to folks about the weather issue?
So, I mean, yes, guys, there's a giant weather storm, thing. I have talked to both venue and regional players and people that are, local to Colorado, and this is another snowstorm. It's not like the storm of the century, it's just another snowstorm. Up in the mountains, obviously, it's a lot of snow, but apparently where the venue is, which is not on the mountains, is out towards the plains, it's nothing too terrible. It will be snow, don't get me wrong, but it's nothing crazy. They will be shoveling the snow all day Friday. Remember, our event is Saturday, so by Friday afternoon the roads to our event as well as all the parking lots in the area should be totally clean. But we did email everyone, and we will keep everyone everyone emailed, updated via email regarding the event.
If you're an attendee, keep your eyes on the email for the latest in terms of updates, if there's any schedule changes or anything like that.
And also, guys, like if the weather does look like kind of nasty and you just don't want to go outside to get a food truck, go eat at the food trucks, like it's okay to bring your food to this place. This is a very relaxed venue, so feel free to bring a bag lunch if you don't feel like standing outside and ordering a taco.
What if I want to make pierogies at the table?
I think as long as you share with your opponent, that is totally appropriate.
Pierogies approved, folks. I want to see pierogies at this event.
All right, you heard it from Seth.
Right. Well, let's wrap this one up for the night kicker. It's a bit shorter episode, but you got places to be, you know, folks to see. I got editing to do. So we thank you so much for watching this episode of Signals from the Frontline. Have a great week, and we will see you at the Rocky Mountain Open.
Good night, guys.